Welcome to another episode of Confessions of a CEO. On today's episode, I have Howard Wapoff, who's a business marketing strategist and coach. He recently released a book called 45-Minute Business Breakthroughs that helps business owners triple their leads, double their sales, and increase their revenues. We had a very good conversation on things that you can do that are low to no cost with advertising for your business. So be sure to tune in, and he has a special offer for you at the end. So hi, Howard. Welcome to the show today.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
I am so excited to talk to you today. You have interesting information to share with me. Listeners are going to be so excited. But before we jump ahead, I want to start by talking a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Again, my name is Howard Wapoff. I am a business marketing strategist. I work with small, medium-sized businesses to help them find new leads, new sales, and really grow their revenues. And a lot of times finding it already in their business that already exists. I've been working in marketing for about 25 years, varied through sports marketing, working for the New York Mets organization for a while, working for a couple of different marketing advertising agencies, working in radio, both a national and a local sports radio station here in Jacksonville, Florida. And just had a varied career working and successfully connecting businesses with other businesses and consumers.
Right. And it was so impressive to read everything about you. Like, I love the marketing strategist part. So I think sometimes people get what you do kind of twisted with, oh, he just does marketing. So could you like tell my listeners really what you do as a marketing strategist?
Sure. I help business owners realize the potential in their business by giving them some self-analysis and analysis of their business to start, but really digging in to see what they're doing and to find the some better ways. A lot of times my clients will be people who are experts in what they do, but and they started their business to be the best plumber, the best roofer, the best dentist, but their skills are in those capacities. They're not marketers, they're not business, they're not HR people, they're not bookkeepers, but they've been wearing all those hats. And at times that gets really stressful, and yes, you make some mistakes along the way because of that. So I work with them individually, separately from someone who does marketing, working with an advertising and marketing agency. We would sit and work on different campaigns for clients and help structure their marketing mix, which are things that I do also do with my clients, mm-hmm, because I have that background, but that's secondary. So I'm going to work with a client to address certain things with their website that they can do directly with their designer to make these fixes. If there's a need to redo the entire website, I could then build a website for them. So those are the two, right, kind of the separations.
Right. And that's what I'm so glad you gave it that way, because a lot of times I think people get that like mixed up. Like when you say, well, I'm a marketing strategist, and so they're like, oh, okay, well, they do all my marketing. And then I'm like, no, not exactly. Not exactly. So I know you have experience working with small businesses. So tell us, you know, how has that been?
It's varied. Again, a lot of times you are, again, dealing with someone who doesn't actually have a full grasp on what they need to know for their business, but sometimes thinks they know everything they need to. Mm-hmm. That kind of times can be a challenge. And there are times when you're working with someone who just, I need help. Please help me. How can I find better ways to do this? And that makes things a whole lot easier from the get-go. And it really opens up a really a back and forth in a positive way relationship. I've always been a believer that you never have enough education. You always need to be learning. And there's always people that can be teaching you things, whether it's something that you're picking up from a seminar or you're contracting with a business coach and a strategist to help you get from point A to point B to point C.
Exactly. And I love how you say
you never have enough education, because I think that's where a lot of us as entrepreneurs go wrong. Like, even myself, when I first started my event planning business like 7 years ago, I was like, oh, I got this. I took a few courses and I was like, oh, I'm good. I mean, I was getting clients, but it took me a long time to get to the level where I was getting the good clients. Like, the client wasn't having to struggle to like get them to pay, or that understood my value or me. Value. So like, I went into this business really blind, like knowing just the surface stuff that I needed to open the business, but not actually run it and be successful at it.
And it's sometimes it's a gut punch to a business owner to think that they have this need, but it's one that will help them succeed and grow their revenues exponentially. It's heartbreaking to work with someone or start to work with someone and you see they decide to go into business for themselves.
Right.
And all it is a job that stresses them out. They're making $60,000 to $70,000 a year by the time it's all said and done. That's a job. That's not a business. It's not one that's going to keep your family in the lifestyle that you plotted they were going to have once you made the decision to go out on your own. You need to figure out how to create the revenues that are going to generate that, but also make you positive for being your own boss. And
right.
It's not for you to stress yourself out.
Exactly. And I think that's a lot of times what a lot of people equate entrepreneurship or owning your own business to, is like, oh, I have to work all these long hours. I have to do this and that. And I think they don't get the idea, and that's where your business comes into play to help them be able to see the things that they need to do that they're not doing to be able to make money and be successful. Because you're right, I could have stayed at my job to make $70,000 a year. I mean, I could have stayed where I was.
Exactly. And life might have been easier that way, but if you're really knocking it out of the park, and you're running with an efficient business that you're getting leads that you're communicating with, and when they're the right time to make a decision on making a purchase or a contract with someone, you're at the top of their list. That's how you're going to be successful. I think people don't realize that you start a business and you set up a website, because everyone has a website. You need a website. You set up some social media, but the website is really for the most part, a digital brochure.
Right.
And people, when they're online searching different companies, they're doing research. They're not there to buy. So a lot of times people are always taught have to have that call to action, because people are going to buy and they need to know exactly how to find you. So right. on the top fold of the website, make sure there's a big phone number and or a button to click for a free consultation. Nobody cares about that. They don't want a free consultation. They do, but that's not going to say, oh, I'm clicking right here, or I'm picking up the phone to call them. They may be researching 5 or 6 or 7 different companies, whatever that line of business they're trying to get information on. But if you are able to create reasons for them to want to communicate with you and trade off with information that is of value to them. If you're a plumber, for example, if you create a document, 5 ways to save your plumbing for the lifetime of your house, that's okay. Something someone might think about and say, hey, you know what, I'm going to click to get that. And in trade, they're going to give you their email address, and you start a conversation that way. You're staying in contact with them, and hopefully they're happy to receive this information. But that helps when they're finally ready to find the right plumber, right. You're the person they call.
Right. And it's so, I'm glad you said leads, because that's my next question. So like, I know your specialty is like working with small businesses, helping them to see their potential. So how do you assist these companies on acquiring these new leads and sales?
Well, what I usually start with is spending 45 minutes with them going through different strategies. And some of them are work perfectly for their business, sometimes a little off to the side, and you adjust a little bit. But there's so many different ways that you can find money in your business, or find ways for your customers to be spending money with you and finding new customers to spending new money with you, or increasing the way they're spending their dollars, that's not going to cost you a dime in marketing or advertising.
Right.
This is well before you're starting the process of having to advertise and promote your business. And most business owners don't know that, think about it, understand it, but it's fairly simple. And given the opportunity to speak with them, then I'm able to really review everything about starting with their website and starting with means of communication and who their target market is. And I chart with them, how much money do you think you can be generating if we made this switch and if we made that switch? And all of a sudden the conversation started at zero and their expectations were zero. And sometimes it's $50,000, $75,000, $100,000 just by making a few adjustments and bringing on the right person to help guide them through the process of making these switches.
And I think that's awesome because I think sometimes we don't understand what the fortune is as an entrepreneur. Like, we're so dead set, like you say, set up a website and you got to have a call to action and you got to put it at the top and you need to have it on every page. You need to have all these pop-ups and all of these things. And then I think about myself as a consumer when I go to someone's website, like, I'm annoyed by all of that. Like, I'm literally, like you say, I'm trying to research. I'm trying to see, what does this company offer? Does it offer something with what I'm looking for? Pricing may or may not be a factor initially. Like you said, I'm really just kind of looking to see what it is they offer and if they probably have the level of service that I'm looking for. I'm not looking for to click here or to, you know, have all these pop-ups everywhere. I'm trying to get the information about the site or about this company at first.
And you want to gain a confidence with them initially, because if you look at someone and say, there's no way I'd feel comfortable with this company, then you're not going to work with them. You move on to someone else. And some of it is very simple. I can't believe the amount of companies that have a website they built in 2012, 2015, and they're still using it because that was an expense to them. It wasn't an investment. And when you're being judged apples to apples against companies, they're going to take a look. If they don't have the concern of how they look to the general public with an old website, that's strike one right there.
Right. Right. I think that makes a lot of sense, especially when you go to something that's, you know, like super important, like you say, like a plumber, like that's a big deal. That's something really big and that's expensive depending on what you need. But if I can first go on there on my mobile phone, like I may not even deal with you.
You said the magic words right there, mobile phone. Most people are doing their searches on the phone, whether it's while they're sitting in a meeting, whether it's just sitting there at getting coffee. They're not doing the searches on their computers anymore. They're doing it on their phones. So the website has to be mobile. It has to be mobile optimized. It has to be mobile friendly. It has to be something that you're getting your information and people have an interest in flipping through the rest of your website to gather the information, and preferably something where they want to give their email address because something about you impressed them. And this offer that you're making to them just for general information, it could take you 20 minutes to write. Hopefully you spend 2-3 hours to do it, but finding the right piece of information that will tease someone into learning more about you and your company. And then you have the opportunity for a drip campaign. And if you got, this was a lead for you in October and they didn't make any purchases with you in October, you're still communicating with them in November and December and January as you're gaining leads in November, December, and January. So there's no time limit on when they're going to do business with you. But if you expected them to click on your website in October and just do business with that without having any ways to keep the communications going, they're never coming back.
Right. That makes so much sense. It's almost like you said, well, it is. It's building relationships. It's like building that. Like, why would I give you, you know, a lot of my money or something if I don't trust you or I don't, you know, I haven't built a relationship with you.
The relationships are so important because everything is reputation. People are going to Yelp and Google to see what kind of recommendations or negative comments they can find about you. So it's all about perception, and you want to be perceived positively, and you want to develop a strong perception from someone who is really just window shopping.
Right.
Again, less than, I think, 1% of every click on a website is to purchase. Like, granted, you know, you're throwing out, you're not dealing with the Amazons of the world as part of your equation here.
Right.
But as people are searching through to research and find the best whatever, doctor, lawyer, dentist, roofer, painter, they're doing research before they do anything.
Right. And that makes so much sense. I was just talking to a friend today, and she's job searching. And she's at like corporate level. Like, she has a corporate job, and she's like, I was looking at the reviews for this one company and they were horrible. And I'm saying to myself, like, you researched them? And she was like, girl, yes, I'm researching where I'm trying to, you know, apply, because that's going to make a difference, you know, as far as me deciding whether or not I go there.
It's very important to be comfortable in any situation that you set yourself up in. With your friend who's looking for a job, their goal is to be there 2 years, 5 years, maybe the rest of their career. You do not want to get into a relationship like that with a bad company, with real problems. And because those problems will come out to bite you. You never know when that's going to happen.
That's true. That's true. And I told her, I was like, I had never even like really thought about that. You know, I think we just think about, oh, let's apply and I'm going to work here. But like, even in my business as an event planner, before I will bring a vendor on, I vet the mess out of them. Like, I am researching everything. I am on every website I can find with reviews about them. I may even, you know, if they're a referral from someone, I'm referred this person to me, you know, how were their services? So that just makes even more sense to me now. Like, why wouldn't I research a company that I'm going to like commit my life to for however many years or whatever set time frame?
Exactly. I think we all have experiences of the company that didn't work out. I remember I hired it from a coupon magazine because they did both lawn care and bug spraying.
Mm-hmm.
And the price was unbelievable, and it sounded great. Within 2 months, there became a problem that one part wasn't showing up. And then I find out that one guy wasn't – the two buddies that just partnered together, and one guy wasn't paying the other. And they broke up in the middle of this agreement they had with me and with everybody else they contracted with.
Oh, no.
You find these things happen, but sometimes we then moved on and with getting references from people on different lawn service, and lo and behold, years later, we're still happy with who we're using.
Right, right. That definitely makes a difference. So yeah, I definitely get all of that. And it's so true, you know, what you're saying about being able to build that relationship. And I think companies need the information that you have. They need the things that you offer. So tell us, how are you able to help companies, you know, and individuals who may not be able to afford coaching, but they still need the assistance of a business coach?
And it's a key component to everything because, again, going back to the old website, a lot of businesses will look at any spend like this as an expense, not an investment. And it's an expense they didn't plan for either.
Right.
So that becomes challenging. If you're going to get coaching, it has to be a line item in your budget, and you know it's going to be a spend every month for this, and there's value that you're receiving for it for your company. But then again, some people, there's different budgets that people have, and sometimes it takes time to be able to have the money to spend for the coach. But I set up a e-learning site through my website, and it's a 52-week course on how to become a business marketer. So it's great for business owners, again, who can't afford the full services of coaching. It's great for employees who are trying to also wear a few different hats and become a much stronger marketer. It's great for students out of college who are trying to really gain all they can to be a better performer at either at their job or as they're applying for jobs. And it's really taking 2 hours a week, every week for 52 weeks. And it's there's a video, there's audio versions, there's a live phone call every week where you can ask questions. And it really simplifies becoming a marketing expert so that it's easily affordable and it's reachable for anyone to do. And it's really the website address is becomeamarketingexpert.com. And very easily, I've put together a program and pricing that is affordable for anyone to take full advantage of this.
So, what are some of your greatest growth achievements that you've accomplished for a company?
I've had some really great clients to work with throughout my career, and really ranges large and small. I've worked with large corporations like Lowe's and Welch's grape juice, mm-hmm. and ran different types of radio campaigns for them and lots of small businesses. But the one that really strikes me more than anything was the local franchises, we'll say, of a national weight loss program called the Metabolic Research Centers.
Okay.
And they do amazing, amazing things for people, helping them lose weight in the easiest ways possible and the right ways possible for them. And I was working for 1010XL, which is the sports radio station here in Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. And our focus was marketing to men. Their overall picture was that they were their demo was 80% women. So we worked on a campaign, which is a lot of live commercials and mm-hmm. testimonials of people taking the diet at the radio station. And that led to listeners who had gone on the diet and lost 40, 50 pounds and them coming onto into the station to record commercials. And by the time 1 year had gone by, they had gone from 80% women to 52% men without losing the women, which means their revenue skyrocketed over there.
Right.
All from this one campaign on one radio station.
Wow.
So looking back, that's really the campaign I'm most proud of. But I've had some really great successes at that radio station, also nationally through traffic and live read traffic sponsorships for these larger companies as part of segments of their marketing mix.
That is awesome. So I'm just sitting here like in amazement to think that before you started working with them, they didn't even know who they could target. Like they were just, it was just women there. And then you came in with these strategies to help them. And before you know it, they had brought on more than 50% men without losing who they already had, which were women. Like that's amazing.
And it's really trying to visualize what kind of strengths you have to use it as tools. I know, especially from my experience, that radio, you either have to be embedded into programming or you need to have content that people are interested in staying through the commercial blocks. Right. And that's really hard these days because every new car that you buy, you're getting Sirius XM put into the car and you're getting your 3 months free. So you may never go to terrestrial radio again.
Right.
If you are listening to terrestrial radio, for example, in this market, there are two country stations in the top 10. You're listening to station number one. You're going to switch to the next station when the commercial block starts. You don't want to hear the commercials.
Right.
But on a news talk or sports talk station, people are really engaged with what they're being discussed with them. And there's a teaser that as you're getting to the commercial block, come back right after the break. We'll talk about this big trade coming up in the NFL. So people want to hang in and figure out what it is because they weren't told who or what or where.
Right.
And especially with the station I work for, a lot of the on-air talent were the voiceovers for the commercials. So it seemed like it was part of the programming. And this really strengthened the campaigns for the businesses. And knowing you have a tool like that as you look at what will work for you with digital marketing, what will work for you with billboards, especially in this this world of the electronic billboards, that you're getting different types of reach for it from that. It's you have to have the right tools in the toolbox.
Like you said, it was just like little things that you probably went in and did, and then that led to the bigger. Like it really helped grow their business astronomically.
It's having that relationship with the client and developing it as quickly as possible, so that they're trusting your suggestions and knowing that you're directing them in the right direction.
Exactly. That's awesome. I love it. I just love all of that. So tell us, why business coaching?
Why business coaching? A lot of it has to do with being efficient.
Right.
You can look and say, okay, I need marketing help. And there's many things you can do. If you hire somebody, sometimes you're, again, looking at budgets. In all honesty, the budget is probably going to be small for an employee. And the only type of employee you're going to get for a small employee is someone more at entry level. And unfortunately, in this day and age, when you're hiring a millennial, there's a lot of risk involved. I have too many stories from these businesses that people that quit over text or didn't show up on their first day. And as a business, you can't just wake up one morning and find that they just disappeared on you. So for less money than a full employee, if you're really strategic about it, because you're not dealing with benefits and insurance and all those other expenses that come along with it, you have someone who is a pro. Like, for example, I've been a vice president of client integration for advertising agencies and directors of marketing for different businesses. So I come with a pedigree that you're not going to get with a recent college graduate with just a marketing degree. I have an MBA in marketing. And you have my brain and experiences to pick in conversations of how to fix your business, how to make your business better, and then really how to generate leads, generate sales, and grow your revenue, which is really what your main focus is all about. How are we going to make more money for your company so that you are making more money for your family? And if you have employees, they're making more money, and everybody's happy and moving forward.
Exactly. I love that, because I think you have a very different outtake on business coaching than most business coaches that I've spoken with. Like, most of the time it's about fixing like things that to me are not like really important. You're saying, let's go look at your website. There's a few tweaks that we can do here. Let's see who you actually should be targeting. And then let's go from there. Because I know a couple of friends that have hired business coaches. And oh my God, Howard, they're like, this person tried to fix me. Like, they did nothing to fix my business. And I don't know if they were millennials or not, but it was so crazy. Or when we started to talk about the marketing plan, that's when things fell apart. Because they were like, oh, well, I don't really know about that. You know, let me refer you out. So then they have like 2-3 other people on their team. And like you said, that's another line item that they have to consider. And they're already what you consider like a small business that is trying to grow their revenues, but they're constantly spending out because they're not hiring the right
people. I think you have to have a good understanding of who you're working with. Now, granted, I've worked with people where their goal is to fix themselves. They have a sense that they're not managing their staff the right way. And then things not growing, so they need another set of eyes to see what they're doing and how they're doing it, and make suggestions of how to fix certain things. I was also spending a little time with the staff as well, and that's a different level of coaching, and that's something that I do. It's not the focus that I walk in with for a company, but I have the abilities to do that. And again, if there's broader activity that's needed for a company to create an full scale ad campaign and to build a website, to build a social media campaign, having worked for the last X number of years in marketing and advertising agencies, I have that experience managing those campaigns. And I have the assets to hire, to build the right ones. And to, it's, I'm not just, grasping at straws of who's going to be able to help somebody. But you have to be comfortable with who you are working with, and you have to find the right person. And it's important to see what their pedigree is, what they've done, what they've accomplished in their career.
Right. And I think that all like makes a huge difference to get, you know, these breakthroughs that you need to grow your business and to gain that knowledge, you know, so that you can grow. Because like you said, you left this job to make money, not to make the same amount of money or, you know, to just be stressed out all the time. You left this job so that you can start your own business and you can be successful and you can make money to really take care of your
family. Exactly. And you need to be on the right track. And if you're on the wrong track, and you sense you're on the wrong track, you need to be open about getting help to get you on the right track without harming your business in the process.
Right. So talk to us a little bit about your book, because I'm telling you, it was eye-opening for me. Like, totally eye-opening for me. And I love two chapters in particular.
Okay.
I loved chapter two because I love joint ventures. And then I was very interested in your chapter about the downselling. Like, it was cool. So I don't want to give too much away because I want the listeners to read. But just tell us a little bit about your book.
Well, it's called 45 Minute Business Breakthrough, and really it describes what I do when I spend 45 minutes with a client, because my goal is to triple their leads, double their sales, and find $20,000 to $50,000 in their business just from the start. And there are many simple ways that you can do that. You mentioned a couple there, but let's talk about downselling as an example. And we got to focus on the right type of business. Let's say it's a florist, and the florist has 50 weeks out of the year that the price of roses is X. And then you have Valentine's Day and Mother's Day week when the price of roses is Y. So you have a pretty good sense. You have you've upped the price those weeks, and you have a sense of at the very least how much it is on a regular week, and you have an inventory. Most often, they're not going to sell out their inventory, and they'll use roses in other displays to make sure they don't lose the value of what they purchased. But let's say usually $25 a dozen every week and $50 for those 2 weeks. Someone comes into the store and they say it's $50, and they decide that's not too much money that I can spend. They start to walk out the door. Now, if you've equipped your staff with a secondary price, say, you know what? I got a special for that I'm only allowed to give a couple of people. For you, I'm going to charge $35. And so now he thinks he got a bargain. And he'll go spend $35. So what did you do? One, you took zero, because once you walked out the door, that was zero, and made it $35. Two, you got $10 more than you usually get for the roses, because they usually are $25. So that's a win-win in many different ways. You made someone happy who probably come back next year. Now, granted, he may come back looking for the same deal, but you can easily say that was a one-time special. And you have different options with that, whether it's florist or any other type of business. You're not broadcasting this out to everybody. You're definitely not shouting it out with 20 people in the store. But you got to be strategic about it, and again, have a good team around you, because the manager and the owner are probably not the ones being have to make this offer. It's your person.
Right, like your team member, yeah.
And but you just made $35 instead of making zero, and a $10 profit, much less on what you usually spend on that. So it's again looking at people's businesses, what they do, what their product lines are, how much they're charging, and there are other ways to look at making additional dollars based on those. It works. It works for every business that I've spoken to.
Right. And I think it's so key. Like, this book was so amazing to me because it gave so many different tips that, like, you don't even think about. you know, like me, I'm an event planner, so I don't really have a product. I have a service. Mm-hmm. But my service works best when I team up with other people. So most of the time when people book me, they get a whole slew of other people. Well, these whole slew of other people also refer me. And we tend to do events all together because, again, we all need something from each other in that service. But, you know, just talking to a friend on yesterday about, you know, little parts of your book. And she was like, oh, I just want to get, if I can't get full price, I'm not going to get anything at all. I'm like, absolutely. That's what you're going to get. Nothing. When you could bargain. And it's not to say that you do that on everything. Like you said, you can say, hey, you know, this is just a limited deal for just a few people, you know, then you're building trust and you're building relationship because that person will remember that you took care of them.
There's a very big difference between being strategic and haggling.
Exactly.
You're not going into a conversation to be haggled down on your price. This is a strategy. And then with different, you also don't want to be pinned down to be compared apples to apples. So in a situation like that, event planning, again, joint ventures and having the right group of companies that are connected with each other to pass leads back and forth to, and if it works out even better, to give little bonuses when the leads are passed on and successful. Those right. are additional ways to make money from these relationships.
Exactly.
It's just really looking at the what you do, how you do it from the top down, and
right.
And making sure that it's all happening the right way for you.
Yes. And I love that. And I was telling someone, we were talking about, you know, how people team up together and always do collaboration. So I did a wedding in Destin, Florida, probably 3 or 4 years ago. Howard, when I tell you they got this joint ventures thing down pat, when you book, say, this Ocean View venue, it comes with all of these other people already together. They are strategically priced. Like, you can almost not say no. It just makes sense. And mm-hmm. One of the ladies was telling me, because we absolutely like loved her cake. It was like the best cake ever. And she said, oh yeah. She's like, we share leads all the time. And we sometimes like, you know, give each other little bonuses for like so many that we get in between. And I was like, really? She's like, yeah, we work very well together.
Exactly. And the best I found here in Jacksonville was a company that it was six companies, and they not only did they bond together, but they actually made a campaign out of it. They called themselves the Big Six, and they did radio commercials mentioning all six of the businesses. And you go to the website and all the different pieces were there. And it was all about home improvement. I know there was a Shutters place and a roofer and a realtor, and that was only three of the six. This goes back a number of years, but it was very beneficial to all their businesses. And that campaign ran for at least 3-4 years.
Oh, wow. I think that's awesome. That's totally cool. So listeners, y'all definitely need to read Howard's book. It really opened my eyes to some things, some tweaks that I can make, you know, in my businesses as well, because I still got the full-time 9-to-5, but you know, my goal is to definitely transition out. And with some of the things you talked about, Howard, it makes it a lot easier for me to do that. Cause I'm like, hell, if I can do this over here with these folks that I won't ever see the full potential of that money, I could definitely put that into my own business and do it and make money for myself.
Exactly. And all these strategies work, and that's the key. And whether someone's reading it in my book, or they're making an appointment and sitting down with me for 45 right. minutes and presenting it to them. It's just really, it's keeping a counter in your head of how much money you think you could be making by implementing this, and then having the right person like myself to implement it.
Exactly. Exactly. I think that's so key. I have totally enjoyed talking with you, Howard. It has been an amazing opportunity. I cannot wait To see what more you can do. I know definitely I'm going to be one of those people that's going to sit down with you for 45 minutes because I think I'm leaving some money on the table. I really
Well, I definitely appreciate and look forward to that. If anyone else wants to have that opportunity as well, you can go to my website, findnewrevenue.com. There you're able to, you can download the book for free. I will give it to you by when you come to my website. So you can have a full understanding of the two and be able to book an appointment with me to sit down and talk further. And I'd love that opportunity. And if you just want to, if you want to learn and concerned about your budget, spend your time, becomeamarketingexpert.com and you can register for my e-learning course.
That is so awesome, Howard. Thank you so much for even offering your wonderful book to my listeners. I think they will all benefit from it. Most of them are business owners, and I do have a few that, they chat with me about wanting to jump out and want to do business. So I definitely think that you would be essential to them. Maybe they would do it like the right way, unlike some of us who just jumped off the ship and didn't have a boat waiting for
It could be rocky waters at times, but right. but at least having the right person to navigate you through the waters, that's key. And I'm looking forward to anyone who wants to contact me. You can find newrevenue.com. All my contact information is there on my social media. You can follow me on HWallpuff on Twitter. And I'm looking forward to those conversations.
Well, thank you so much. And I will definitely put all of your information in the show notes. It has been a total blessing to talk to you. Hopefully I can get you back on the show. We can talk some more about some stuff. Because I think what you have is very essential to what we need. And I think with more entrepreneurs coming out, like more people are, you know, wanting to own their own businesses, I think what you have is very key.
Well, I appreciate that. And I thank you so much for the opportunity. And I look forward to further conversations with you.
Same here. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.